Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. He will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. It's especially nice to get home after a long trip, isn't it? And if that trip has not gone quite according to plan, it's nice to get home. Perhaps you experienced a car breakdown, or someone got sick, a storm, and even an accident. Just being in your own bed can be quite consoling. What Jesus is revealing to his disciples is that he's returning home after a 33-year journey. And yet, in the process of talking to them about him leaving them, he basically says, my mission is done here. I want to focus today's lesson on verses 8 through 11, and I've entitled it, Mission Accomplished. Let's read them again, verses 8 through 11 of John chapter 16. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have written out on the marquee, the Holy Spirit defines for man sin, righteousness, and judgment. Think of those three words. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Do they spark in you any kind of sense of awe? What would the world consider as being wrong or sin? Something that's out of bounds. Coloring outside the lines. Let me ask you a few questions. Is sexual intimacy only allowed in a marriage between a man and a woman? Is that how the world would view sexual intimacy? It's sacred within the bounds of marriage between a man and a woman? Would the world say that it's okay to get drunk or to get high? Is it okay to take what doesn't belong to you? Does the world respect authority? Our government? Our boss? My parents? Does the world say that I'm supposed to do what my teacher tells me? Does the world say that it's okay to simply choose whether or not you want to be a follower of Christ? In fact, it's all right to be irreligious or an atheist. The word for sin in the Greek is hamartia. And the one thing that I like most about this particular definition is sin can simply mean to miss the mark. I want you to imagine you are an archer. You're shooting an arrow. And you just miss the target. That's what sin is, missing the mark. To sin means to err or to be mistaken, to wander from the path, to go wrong, to have no share in. Now, what would that be a part of? Sin means to have no part of, to have no share in. It means to wander from God, to violate God's law. And yet what Jesus has revealed is that when the Holy Spirit comes, it will convict the world of sin. In other words, it will take all of this gray area, and sometimes the calling of that which is black, white, and vice versa, that which is good, evil, and that which is evil, good. The Holy Spirit, when it was to come, and Jesus said it'll come after I leave, is going to convict the world of sin. In other words, the Holy Spirit will define for the world what is right and what is wrong. Perhaps that's most clear in this verse that Paul writes to the Corinthians. And think of those things that I ask about sexual intimacy, about getting high or drunk, about stealing or respect for authority. And listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul, writing by inspiration, says these are things that God declares, the Holy Spirit has revealed, are sin. These miss the mark so much so that you will have no part in the inheritance of God or the kingdom of God. You cannot do these things and be unrepentant of them. Did the Holy Spirit define sin? Throughout the Bible, it has been revealed. This is nothing new, but it is concise and precise. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will put it all down in black and white. There is right and there is wrong. But Jesus has also said, in answering this convicting the world of sin, a very clear and precise understanding of how that happens. He says in verse 9 of John chapter 16, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The root of the problem, getting to the very root of the problem, Jesus said sin is a rejection of me. To miss the mark wholly is not to accept Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, and refuse to follow Him. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that this really is the crux of all that is wrong in the world. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And the Jews of Jesus' day would not acknowledge His deity. He's already said in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. The Holy Spirit will confirm who I was and my deity. If they had not been warned, then they would not be transgressors. But because I have come and they have rejected me, then they are without excuse for their sin. What's wrong in this world? The lack of faith. The very definition of sin, the lack of faith in Jesus Christ. What would the world say, though, now going to the next word, what would the world say is okay? What is right? What would the world say is the definition of righteousness? The world uses phrases like might makes right. And they have a philosophy that it doesn't really matter. Live life unfettered. The world takes liberty or freedom to an extreme and has the philosophy of, well, I answer to no one. In other words, you want to know what's right? Just ask me. I'm the judge. I'm the one who decides. Whatever you think is right is acceptable. In fact, it means there is no standard for what is right. That's not what the Holy Spirit reveals, is it? The word for righteousness in the Greek is dikaiosune, and it means integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. It means justice. In relationship to God, it means the condition acceptable to God, a state approved by God. In that same passage that we just read, just the next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now looking at verse 11, the Holy Spirit has defined sin as sexual promiscuity and drunkenness and reviling and thievery and idolatry. But now it defines righteousness in verse 11. Speaking to those Corinthians, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. A magnificent transformation has taken place in the lives of the Corinthians. Though they once lived in debauchery, they're no longer in that condition. Once they were sinners, but they are no longer. They have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They now participate in the glories of Christ and of God because they have been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Righteousness is dependent upon forgiveness. God has always been merciful and gracious to those who would but be of faith and obey His will. Now, notice what Jesus said, though, about righteousness as He defined sin as being the rejection of me. Notice what He says about righteousness in verse 10 of John 16. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Now that can be a head scratcher. Why would Christ's leaving at this moment contribute to an understanding of what righteousness is? What He is simply saying is, I have given to you what it is that God wants from you. And I can now leave because my mission is accomplished. I have come to earth. I have lived a sinless life as a man. Included in His activities before He leaves, I will be crucified. I'll die on your behalf. I will be buried and resurrected from the dead so that you too might have hope. And that's what Paul is explaining to the Corinthians. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, my mission is done. His 33 plus years on earth, His 3 plus years with these disciples, they have all contributed to a revealing of that which gives hope. which enables man to be transferred from sin to righteousness. God is pure. God is holy. Man will never, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But in righteousness through cleansing, we have hope. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, just how important is this gospel that has been delivered through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a contrary gospel to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What a contrast. Can I allow the world, can I allow mankind to define for me what is right and what is wrong? What is sin and what is righteousness? No. If I teach contrary to what the Word proclaims, I am to be accursed. In Christ alone is righteousness and strength. Turn with me to hymn number 444. 444. In the Lord alone, are righteousness and strength. The height and breadth and length of love is found in Him. In the Lord alone, are righteousness and strength. In the Lord alone. In the Lord alone, are life and health and peace. His mercies and His loving kindness never cease. In the Lord alone, are life and health and peace. In the Lord alone. In the Lord alone is everything I need. The Son of Man now reigning high will intercede. In the Lord alone is everything I need. In the Lord alone.
Thinking of those three words again that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of: sin, righteousness, and judgment. We have in capsule form the life of man. All of us have sinned and fallen short. God's grace and mercy has offered us hope through Christ His Son to receive righteousness by being washed, by being sanctified, by being baptized into His blood, so that we might find ourselves on the day of judgment free from transgression, free from conviction. How would the world define judgment? The world would say, maybe in fairly strong terms, what goes around comes around. In other words, you're going to get what you give. But living a good life, well, it has its own rewards. Is there really a common sense within the world, a common sense of true justice, that everyone will have to give an answer for the life that they've lived? No, there's not. In fact, if anything, the world would ignore the concept of judgment. But the Holy Spirit defines judgment in its most complete form, saying simply, as Jesus refers
to judgment. He says, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Satan will get his comeuppance along with all of his minions and everyone who has refused to have faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit defines judgment by saying that all men will stand before God on the last day. The Hebrew writer says simply in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Paul emphatically says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, so that at the name of Jesus, speaking of the judgment scene, every knee will bow. How many? Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. On that day, who's going to be present? Whether they're in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue confess what? This is how Satan will be put in his place. And all of his minions, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The word for convict that Jesus uses here in John chapter 16 in the Greek is eleksio, and it means to convict, to refute, to confute, to bring to light, think, sin, righteousness, and judgment, to expose, to find fault with, to correct, to reprehend severely, to chide, to admonish, to reprove, to call into account, to show one his fault, to demand an explanation, to chasten, to punish. Upon what standard will man be judged on that last day? Is there a standard? Listen to these words of Paul. First to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. How is one to reprove, rebuke, and exhort? Well, certainly in the spirit of patience, but it's by preaching the word. What was it Jesus said? And when he comes, he will convict. He will define. He will expose what is truth about sin and righteousness and judgment. So, what is the standard? It's the word of God. He says to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Turn the light on. Flip the switch. Don't you become participants in their sin. No, your job is to expose that which is going on that is outside of God's will. That word for reprove in 2 Timothy 4:2, the word for expose here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 is the very same word where Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world. Then Paul tells Titus in chapter 1 and verse 9, see if you can find where that same word is used in this verse. Holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. And talking to his son in the faith, he says, you hold fast to the word, because through its teachings you will be able to encourage sound doctrine and those who follow it, and you will also be able to refute those who would contradict what is found in the Bible. Are there any that contradict what God says in the Word today? Remember what I have written out on the marquee. The Holy Spirit defines for man sin, righteousness, and judgment. God has not left us in the dark. If we are in the dark, it's willfully. If we would but understand God's will for us through His Word, the pathway of light has been revealed. Have I allowed the Holy Spirit to define sin, righteousness, and judgment for me? The word there in Titus was the word that you may be able to refute those who contradict it. The Greek word alexio, to convict, to bring to light, to expose. Jesus himself said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove. There it is again. I reprove and discipline. We are to respect those in authority. Our teachers, especially our parents, our government. We are to walk in a way that exemplifies integrity and purity. To walk in faithfulness in our relationships. To have our minds filled with God's Word instead of allowing the world to define for us what they think and what they find acceptable. On the last day, I will be bowing before Jesus and confessing His name that He is Lord. With my voice, I will declare these words. May it be a declaration of praise, not one that is drawn from me on that last day out of fear. In the Lord alone, are righteousness and strength.